Hello everyone, this is the Middle East Today and I'm Maryam Saleh. Unofficial final results in Egypt have said that the candidate of the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, Mohamed Morsi, has won the country's presidential runoff by securing around 52% of the votes. However, Ahmed Shafiq, who was the last prime minister before ousted dictator Hosni Mubarak stepped down, has also claimed victory. Will this be the beginning of more trouble for Egypt, or will the military council still have the final say? Now, to get more on this issue, I am joined by Hisham Safiyuddin, who is a Middle East expert and researcher. We're also joined by Khalid Al-Shami, political editor of Al-Quds Al-Arabi. He's joining us from London. Let me start with you, Hisham. Now, whoever comes to power in Egypt, do you think that they would have the representation and the support of all the Egyptian people, especially since the turnout was quite low?
I think the question is, will they have the power to actually implement any kind of legitimacy that's given to them by the people? And the simple answer is, unfortunately, no. It's very clear to me that since the revolution began up until now, the military council, through a series of maneuvers, of deceptions, of conspiracies, has tried to pretty much prevent any kind of legitimate a representation of people in terms of enacting, turning it into actual power. So I don't think whoever comes, especially that the results, you know, there's a quite a strong division between Shafiq and Morsi. The rules of the game are constantly changing, mm-hmm. and the military council is the ultimate party that's going to decide how much power the president is going to take. So I think that's the real problem. In addition to the fact that the vote is pretty much split, it looks like it, between the two, and there's going to be a lot of a lot of disputes about the election results themselves. And we may talk also about the compare that to what happened with the parliamentary elections a while back.
Yes, well, we'll talk a little bit more about that. Let me ask the same question, Mr. Al-Shami. Do you think that this issue between the two sides, I mean, we've already heard claims of fraud by Mr. Shafiq. Do you think that the fact that this will happen will have a lot of trouble in this regard in order to really know who will be the next president, who has secured the most number of votes?
Well, the only fact we know for now is that both sides are claiming victory. The only fact is it is a close race. These results have shown that Egypt is divided right in the middle. We're talking about 51% according to both sides. This is a very thin majority. It also shows that Egypt can only be governed from the middle. Egyptian people are divided not only politically, but ideologically, socially, and even from the geographic point of view. You have the upper Egypt, except Luxor, has voted for Dr. Mohamed Morsi, while the Delta, almost all of the Delta, have voted for Shafiq. The SCAF is maintaining most of the powers. The SCAF is going to be the real supreme commander of Egypt, no matter who is the winner.
Yes.
And it seems to me that this can create more troubles.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, Mr. Shami, that since that the decision that was taken by the Supreme, the military council, that the SCAF seems to have superior power in the country, was the fact that the military was afraid that if the Muslim Brotherhood come to power, this would be a problem for them, that they really wanted Shafiq to come to power?
Yeah, on the way, of course, Shafiq will be easier to do business with, but I believe that from the SCAF point of view, they think that the country is too divided to leave it to any winner, even to Shafiq, because the additional constitutional declaration is going to be implemented no matter who is the winner. So they wanted to maintain most of the power to make sure that stability is secured. But as far as the Brotherhood is concerned, I think this is where the real conflict now between the SCAF and the Brotherhood and the
yes.
deal is this. The SCAF are telling the Brotherhood, you either be contented
right.
with the share of power that we decide or you lose everything.
We're joined on the phone right now by Mr. Waleed Haddad. He's the official spokesman for Morsi's campaign. Mr. Haddad, what can you tell us exactly? Can you define how the results are actually being counted? What are Mr. Morsi's claims at this point? And does he feel that he can really be the next president and rule the country, especially since Egypt is quite divided and the parliament also has absolutely no power, especially since the military has taken the latest decisions?
Yeah, regarding the presidential election and the race, we are waiting now. There is one day only for the official announcement for the results. We have been collected all the results from all branches around Egypt, from all polling stations, and now we are the first. Dr. Mohamed Morsi has actually won this election by a difference of 1 million votes from the other one, from Shafiq, but it's an official result because the official one is from the election committee. This is regarding the election. Tomorrow we are waiting for their meeting in order to announce the final result. Regarding the other situation, what about the authorities of the next president? We are refusing what happened through SCAF regarding the dissolve of parliament, the dissolution of parliament, and also regarding withdrawal of Trump authorities from the president. The next president will have the authority to do everything as he is the president. He is the one person who can have the executive power forming the government, and also he has the authority over the SCAF because he is the leader of the armed forces. So there is some disturbance in the situation now, but I think after announcement of the final results, there is some decision must be taken from the,
right.
the next president regarding
yes.
What happened.
Yes, Mr. Haddad, I want you to stay on the line just for a minute. Mr. Safiyuddin, do you think that the real problem for the Muslim Brotherhood is that they weren't able to reach out to the other groups, especially the revolutionary groups?
I think there are two problems that the Muslim Brotherhood is facing. The first one is indeed, shortly after they won the parliamentary elections, I think they suffered some sort of a euphoria of power, and they refused to really play in good faith with other parties, including the liberals, including actually even the Salafists, in order to create a front to face SCAF. But there's a more, I think, deeper problem with the Muslim Brotherhood, and that's the case, that's the fact that they seem to be still operating in the same mentality as they did under Mubarak. You know, it's kind of telling SCAF, give us, we'll take whatever you give us. They keep objecting to things politically, but I haven't seen anything concrete in terms of actually opposing SCAF. For example, after the decision by the court to dissolve parliament, you know, they come out and say, we disagree with this, but we respect it. There isn't even a serious effort. I would have actually imagined them coming into parliament, holding a marathon session, breaking through the ranks of whoever is stepping in front of parliament, seizing the actual physical building, because power is about seizing physical buildings. It's about asserting their control. I understand there might be a price for that, but they're not being confrontational enough. And after the constitutional supplement, this supplement has actually taken away any serious power the president can hold. They can contest it as such, but who's going to come to the aid of the president if the president doesn't have a parliament that can support it? The constitutional court is clearly corrupt and clearly doing the bidding of the military council. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure this kind of constant contestation of the SCAF that's not translating into things on the ground, where is it going to lead to with the Brotherhood? They're losing a lot of political credit, in my opinion,
uh-huh.
and it's going to backfire on them if they don't take a more serious and more radical stance.
All right, Mr. Shami, I want to get your take on this issue What do you think about the Muslim Brotherhood's strategy in this regard? And do you think that the revolutionary parties also had have a role to play in this regard also?
Yeah, I think careful reading of the results will show that Muslim Brotherhood have lost lots of popularity since the general elections end of last year. I mean, by that time they had about 11.5 million votes. They only got half of this in the first round of the presidential elections, and now they are struggling. They have been struggling to get this percent, which is almost half of the votes in the second round, thanks to the revolutionary parties and those people who definitely don't want to see the remnants of the previous regime back in power. So I think there are lessons to be learned from these results. Muslim Brotherhood, we're talking about sweeping victory from the first round before mm-hmm. the election. Now we see where they are. I think the mistakes basically are the greediness for power, and that's why the parliament is found to be unconstitutional. They wanted to control the whole parliament, which is in unconstitutional, and also the arrogance of power that they were infected with so quick before they even get any executive powers in their hands. Once they are in the parliament with a majority, they have been excluding other their partners mm-hmm. in the revolutions and created enemies more than friends.
All right, let me get come back to Mr. Safieddine. Now, I think you have some kind of an objection on what Mr. Hashami said concerning the issue of the parliament.
I agree with his assessment, but I also think that the basic blame here lies on them not doing enough to oppose SCAF. Mm-hmm. By that I mean that really the executive power is, in order to be able to grab executive power, they have to be willing to stand up to SCAF, and I don't think the issue was about the unconstitutionality of Parliament itself. I think there's no one really knows. The problem is there are many parallel tracks of change that is taking place in Egypt. There isn't a process that's very clear. They're trying to form a constituent assembly at the same time that they're actually holding parliamentary elections, at the same time that the military council is producing its own constitutional decrees. So the issue is not simply the unconstitutionality of parliament, mm-hmm. it's the fact that political power itself is not being produced in a proper way, and in like Mr. Khaled has said, in a long-term vision of how to actually, you know, strengthen state institutions without bringing back counter-revolutionary forces, which is what SCAF is. SCAF is not concerned about the stability of the country, nor is it concerned about the divisions. On the contrary, it's very interested in sowing divisions because they really want to sustain the old regime that they were part of and continue to be part
of. So with this in mind, do you think that we will be back to the issue, to the emergency law that we had before that was just canceled the last month?
I don't think they need any emergency laws anymore. They're actually producing now new legal decrees that will replace these emergency laws. They've created an autonomous set of rules to rule themselves. So the military has almost complete immunity, and they even elect themselves according to the supplement of the Constitutional Council. So they're doing that. Ideally, they would like to have Mr. Shafiq come into power because, like Mr. Khaled said, they would good to do business with. If Morsi comes, they can blame any bad developments on Morsi, while at the same time they will hold the strings of power. So mm-hmm. We are going towards pretty much an institutionalization of military rule, as opposed to what used to be kind of arbitrary Mubarak-based hierarchy of command.
All right, so Mr. Hashami, do you think that we'll be back to square one, or will we see the streets moving again? Will we see a new revolution that is going down to the streets and trying to, perhaps going against both the Muslim Brotherhood and especially the military council with what seems to be a new regime coming up in the country?
I think we are already in square one, unfortunately. The democratic experiment of Egypt has gone backwards. simply because the SCAF never intended to hand over power fully as promised, and this is partially, and also due to the failure of the whole political elite that I blame, not only the Brotherhood, the whole political elite were too busy fighting each other for power, popularity, narrow interest, leaving the street that you mentioned, suffering even more than they used to suffer before the revolution. So now the political elite, particularly the Brotherhood, may be able to fill Tahrir Square with hundreds of thousands of demonstrators, but moving the streets in the way that we witnessed during the revolution last year is pretty unlikely. The people of Egypt are tired. The economy is deteriorating. Security is not there. People almost will be I will never say happy with the result of the elections, but they will swallow these results, hoping that the stability and the economy will come back so they can carry on their basic life.
Yes. Okay. All right. We're joined on the phone right now by Dr. Shadi Ghazali Harb. He is member of the Revolutionary Youth Coalition. Mr. Harb, I want to ask you about what is the strategy of the revolutionary groups right now, and the fact that they are not as united as they should be in order to face what seems to be the old regime back on its feet, perhaps.
Well, the strategy will differ according to the results of the election, because, I mean, if there was some sort of change in the results that we already heard and some sort of manipulation of these results, which result in Shafiq taking the power, I think that the main strategy will be going back to the streets and demonstrating against this. Because, I mean, this will be an obvious manipulation of the will of the people through the elections. So I can't promise how it will go, but probably some sort of explosion throughout the country. As for what we expect as Dr. Morsi coming as the president, then the strategy will totally differ. We'll have to overcome our mistakes that you just mentioned. To unite ourselves into a single big political entity somehow, so that we, which can be expressive of the youth of the revolution and of the demand, and through this entity, we will be able to compete in the coming elections, in the parliamentary elections, and afterwards as well in the local councils and even the presidency when it comes. So
yes.
Our main priority now is to organize ourselves into a big political entity.
Yes, don't you think that it would have been better for the revolutionary groups to perhaps cooperate with the Muslim Brotherhood in order to be able to face the military council or SCAF or Ahmed Shafiq?
Well, we did cooperate with the Muslim Brotherhood, and most of us were either supporters of the Muslim Brotherhood or Dr. Morsi in the election, or maybe some of us as well were boycotting or discounting their votes, but none of us went to Shafiq's camp. So even when this constitutional declaration, the new constitutional declaration was issued, we all expressed our we didn't accept it, and we went yesterday into Tahrir Square all together with the Muslim Brotherhood to make sure that we are on the same ground, all the political forces and the revolutionary forces with the Muslim Brotherhood, to reject this declaration. So I think that we are very close now to the Brotherhood. And when they reach presidency,
we will call for them as partners in the presidential institution.
Yes.
So that we can cooperate with each other and make sure that the demands of the revolution will be fulfilled.
All right. I want to thank you very much, Mr. Harp, for joining us. Mr. Safieddine, do you think that the fact that things might, we might see more insecurity in the country, that the military council might get back with more brutal force against the people?
I think definitely, yes, especially if Shafiq wins, that they will feel more secure in terms of actually eliminating all the political forces that have been bothering them. If it's just a matter of people going down to Tahrir Square, they'll probably allow for that. But they're probably not going to allow for a more serious transformation of the political system that exists. And that means that they will continue to manipulate the Constituent Assembly. That means they will not grant the president any real power. That means that if elections were to be held again for parliament, there probably going to be a bigger comeback, I think, for the Mubarak's party, possibly. So this is all saying that the counter-revolution has made a comeback. But at the same time, given the economic situation, they're not going to, I think, be able to appease to Egyptians for a very long time. And I hope that at some point, as you mentioned, there will be an attempt by revolutionary forces to kind of maybe get back together. And this time around, they will still have to insist on setting the ground for a civil state, for a state of also citizen, for so these basic principles, you can't compromise on them. Otherwise, it becomes a struggle for power. And that that wasn't the reason why this thing happened in the first place.
All right. Mr. Hashami, do you think that with the military council still holding grip on some 30% of the country's economy, that does give it more power and ability, I mean, to stay in power?
Yeah, of course. They do have the power. And as I said, they have no intention of handing over most of these powers. As it is very clear in the constitutional declaration, they are maintaining control over their own matters, the finance, not only of the army, but actually the whole country, the whole budget of Egypt is under the hands of the SCAF. Finally, I want to say this, what we are witnessing now in Egypt is the birth pains of democracy. Mm-hmm. It has never been easy, and in other countries it took years, like 5 years in Indonesia, for example, to really have a political or proper democratization process. But I think it will affect other countries. It will take the steam out of the Arab Spring, and it may bear troubles for other Islamists in the region who wished to take part in power in their countries.
All right, Ms. Fadine, final question. Do you think that how will this impact other countries? Do we have countries like, for example, Saudi Arabia trying to keep the status quo inside Egypt? Is this good for it? Does it fear that this the issue of revolution would also extend on it to its home front?
One of the more telling provisions of the supplement that came out is that the president cannot declare war unless the military approves of it. The military higher council approves it, SCAF, which is a way of, and also the Ministry of Defense has also remains with them. I think the first impact is, has to do with foreign policy. There was a lot of hope that Egypt at some point will be able to regain its position in the region as a major regional power, possibly facing Israel and the United States in its greater geostrategic wars against resistance movements. That's going to get a setback for sure. The second one, in terms of Islamists, I also think that is definitely a alarm bell, that even if Islamists, yet after 2 decades of struggling under, you know, without political legitimacy, even if they win power, they're still going to have to contest with their militaries and also with other liberal powers involved. So it's definitely also a negative, it'll have a negative impact on the rise of Islamists. And Saudi Arabia and other countries, of course, are probably going to still remain happy, because that means that these Islamist forces will remain dependent on them in many ways, as opposed to creating their own dynamic.
Although, I mean, Saudi Arabia might be in opposition with the Muslim Brotherhood. I mean, the Wahhabis versus the Muslim Brotherhood.
Generally, the Muslim Brotherhood, unlike other places, they have definitely a lot more independence, and they have their own grassroots support, and they have their own sources of funding. They are at odds with Saudi Arabia in some ways, but they're not radically opposed to mm-hmm. them. So they're kind of like, you know, at an arm's length, and they definitely have an independent understanding of foreign policy, but that also they're not entirely in the kind of, you know, opposed camp. They're nothing like what Nasser was before 1967, a kind of a counterbalance mm-hmm. To them.
All right, Mr. Hisham Safi Dino, thank you very much for joining us. I also want to thank Mr. Khaled Al-Shami joining us in London. We're also joined by Mr. Waleed Haddad, official spokesman for the Mercy Campaign, and by Dr. Chadi Harb, member of the Revolutionary Youth Coalition. Our email is metoday@presstv.com. Stay with Press TV. Goodbye for now.